Hello and welcome to season 6 of the FPL Hangover podcast, where we raise the bar and lower the tone, all things FPL related. We are coming to you after our summer holidays are said and done. And we've got our first episode of the season. We're going to be giving our first impressions, our first drafts, everything. First. But I'm not going to do it alone. I'm here tonight with my podcast partner in crime, Paddy. How are you getting on, my friend?
I'm getting on great, Jer, and it's good to be back. I'd like to say hello to all the listeners and all the new listeners and to the millions and millions watching on YouTube. Welcome back to season 6 of the greatest podcast in the world.
Ireland's longest running fantasy sports podcast. There we go. Sponsored by our nation's football team as well. Not legally. I probably have to clarify that. But how does it feel to be back, Paddy? How was the summer?
Feels great. It feels like the summer still hasn't started. Living over here in Ireland for the last while, we've been in floods and nothing but rain every single day. But I did have a little holiday, Jer, and that's where I've got my beautiful complexion from.
Oh yeah, I was wondering for the viewers. Bronze.
Yeah.
What did you get up to? Where'd you go?
I went to Lanzarote and I had a fantastic time. A few beers. Just totally chilled. Actually, I hiked a volcano as well, as you do on your holidays, you know. So
classic holiday trip.
Yeah. After a night out on the cocktails, I got up at 7 o'clock in the morning and hiked a fucking volcano. And funny story, actually, hiked the wrong one.
Okay. Yeah. You've been there before, Issa?
Yeah, I got to the top of the volcano. I was like, fuck, that was tough. And then I looked over and the one I meant to hike was straight across. I was like, fuck!
Oh. Why is this one full of smoke?
Why is this one there and over there? So then I had to climb back down that one and head on over.
You did not do two in a row. Get the fuck out.
I did. I fucking did, yeah. It's on my Instagram if anyone would like to go and follow that. It's the Viking Dippers, and I have a beautifully shot reel of that experience. That was my summer so far. How has yours been, Jer?
Not too bad. I'm impressed that we didn't even get 3 minutes in and you've already plugged your Instagram. I'm like, something's never changed.
Worse than Gianni.
Yeah, worse than Gianni. But you actually mentioned any new listeners. And I guess as it is the first episode of season 6, we should probably give a little bit of a background on the show for anyone that hasn't listened to us before. You're very welcome. It's myself and Paddy doing a weekly episode, basically chatting FPL in a pretty laissez-faire, to put it mildly, a very relaxed attitude. Not very stats related, but bit of crack every week and
like pub talk, Jer.
Pub talk. That's it. Yeah, pub talk. That's what I should have just called it. FPL
usually,
pub
usually
talk.
Actually, we both have a beer here. Yeah. So. And we sit and we have a beer and we talk fantasy football and we hope that we improve your seasons and mini leagues.
Yeah. Well, I mean, realistically, we just basically try and improve your season.
Well, that's true as well. Yeah, that's true. And you know what? My seasons have improved.
Yeah, you yeah, decent enough. Where did you finish last year, Paddy?
For those 150k.
150k, not bad.
I could have finished 100.
Top 10.
And 35k if I want it. But I just thought, I was at 135k and I wanted to finish top 100k, and I thought, if I don't finish one top 100k, you know, I don't care where I finish. So okay. I made a kind of a mad move at the end of last season. I brought in Firmino and captained Firmino for the last game of the season because, you know, it was his farewell, and I thought, you know, they'd be all passing the ball to him. Mm-hmm. Get Firmino a goal before he goes, lads. You know, that kind of buzz. And they did.
Yeah.
And then he got taken off.
Yeah. So. I love the smell of excuses in the morning. Yeah. You know,
I should have went with Kane.
Yeah, you should have. And you would have been inside the top 100K and you'd have been laughing. But look, it's not all about ranks and shit. You know, FPL can get pretty heavy and, you know, depressing in the entirety of a 38 week season. So, you know, it's important to just have a bit of fun with a Petty. And that's what you're here for. Am
I right? Exactly. Yeah, I'm here. I'm not a sheep. I'm not one of these template fuckers. You know, neither of us are. I can't wait till we discuss our first drafts here as well.
I'm not template. Yeah, whatever. I probably can't defend myself. But before we get to our drafts, Petty, have you any goals, objectives for this season? I, you know, like to start every season with that question.
Yes, I do have. I have loads of goals and aspirations for this season. And of course, every year I want to just do better than I did last year. So, but realistically, I really want to finish. I want another top 100K. Yeah. That's all I want. I'll be happy with that.
I think, like everyone, it seems to be the general consensus now that, you know, anything inside the top 100K is a pretty decent, respectable rank. So it's a good thing
it's
to
aim benchmark.
For. It's a good benchmark. Yeah, it is. I'm going to aim for another top 10K, four digits. I got just inside the top two last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to keep that streak going. So you know how it goes. It'll be a miserable season now. The idea of having two decent seasons back to back is foreign to me, so who knows.
Well, you know what I mean, spoken like a true 24th best player in Ireland player.
I need to
know
that. Yeah, I need to get that on the mug.
You need to start plugging that anymore.
Yeah.
So just for anyone who's listening, Jer told me to say this just to let everyone know that he's the 24th best manager in fantasy football manager in Ireland.
According to Premier Fantasy Tools, let's just put that out there. They're not my words. That's the words of the people. And the 24th best manager in Ireland is also the co-host of Ireland's longest running FPL podcast. I can't drive that home enough. I'm going to have to try and work it into the merchandise this year.
I'll have to check where mine's is. Probably 23rd or something. I think 20th.
Oh, easily. I'd say 28th, yeah.
We must check that.
You're talking about pages, aren't you? Like the 20th to 23rd page. Down
yeah, most likely.
I was thinking of scrolling through and I went, yeah, Jesus, I'd be there forever. no, but yeah. So what's your thoughts? You know, this is the first episode of the season. So we're still, 3 weeks away from payday, from the game week one deadline, the 11th of August or something like that. So,
well, my thoughts are we're way too fucking early for a start to be even
compared to all the other fucking content creators. Are we early? I feel like we're about 2 weeks behind, 3 weeks behind.
No, but that's because we've got our heads screwed on and we've got loads of sense. You know, there's people making content before the fucking prices were released.
Yeah.
Come on, like, you know what I mean? There's still loads of transfers to be made. There's injuries that could happen, you know. The team's going to be completely different. But yeah, of course, look, we all know it's a fun game. It's engaging. And part of the best fun is when you go to bed at night and you tinker with your team before you have a wank.
Your team. All right. Oh, okay. I knew it was
you tinker. Then, of course, when you're having a crap at work, you're making a few changes. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, the tinkering away with your teams. And I've done a bit of tinkering with myself.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you tinkered with yourself.
And I've done a bit of tinkering with my team as well.
Yeah. So, how many drafts have you gone through?
Honestly, I probably have six. Because I done one as well, a fun one, you know, where I just picked all players in red because I got bored. So
yeah, and that's an example of some of the content we've seen preseason. Yeah. Not yours, Petty, but
no, I know, not mine.
Yeah, I guess if you're making money from it, then you want to keep that. Keep the farming going. Keep the lemmings jumping into the pool. But six drafts isn't pretty, you know, it's pretty normal. I'd say I'm not too different. I've maybe done three-ish. You know, every now and again, I'll go in and I'll look at one player and I'll, you know what? Sure, we'll get to it. And we'll get to it. We've got some news about leagues and potential, you know, prizes and whatnot towards the end of the show. But for now, let's have a look at some first drafts. All right, Petty, I'm going to throw your one up first.
Okay.
For anyone watching this live, I said it like that because I might put in an audio bed. And I realized that as I was going through, I was like, slow it down and leave yourself space. So, yeah, if you are watching it live, it'll be probably on YouTube. Feel free to hit the subscribe and like button and stuff. That really helps the show. And if you're listening to us, give us a review. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Google, Apple, all the usual stuff, as I said, if you're enjoying what you hear, definitely hit the like button. It helps us out a lot. But I've got Paddy's first draft on screen. So for the benefit of those audio listeners, Paddy, would you read it out?
Okay, I've got it. I've got my team up here, and I've got Onana in nets. Okay, 5 million, my way into the Manchester United defence. And I have Botman, 4.5 million. I have Gabriel, not the singer, 5 million. Alexander Trent, 8 million. And that would round up my defence. I've got Saka, Bruno Fernandes, Foden, and Matoma in the midfield. And then my my strike force, which is frightening, I think, is, of course, Haaland, Jesus, and Nkunku. Did I say that right?
I think so. That's how I would say it.
Been practicing that all day.
Who's on your bench?
Pau Torres, 4.5 million. Caldwell?
No.
No. Gusto. Gusto and Lamptey?
No. Baptiste.
Oh, Baptiste, right. Yeah. I'm looking at my team on Draft Town, sorry.
I forgot.
I'm an affiliate of them. And I've got my X points. You see, I like the way it gives you the X points.
What does stand for?
Expected points.
We got to speak clearly and plainly.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Forgot about it. There'll be a lot of casuals listening. So the expected points for this team is 51. Now, I would expect a lot more. I know. I had a team on. I had my other team in here before, and I had an expected points of 65.
Why the hell would you change it then?
Because this one looks more fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, though, that X point stuff, it's great for, you know, those 50-50 decisions if you're ever not sure if you're ever not sure which defender versus another defender, you want to maybe not flip a coin. I think the likes of X points and stuff like that, that's always handy to take into consideration. But in terms of, you know, actually, believing in it, I take it all with a pinch of salt. But going back to your team, pretty template for someone who was giving me shit a while ago.
Average ownership is 25% on that team.
Okay. Or that's because you've got lots of shit players that no one's going to have in their actual teams.
I'm just, look, come here. You're calling template. I'm just calling you out.
Well, I'm talking sense and you're talking rubbish. You've got in your front team, in your front 11, your first 11, you've got Nkunku and Batman. They're the only two that I would say are not template. The rest, you could argue Foden and Jesus, but like the rest are all pretty much nailed on, no?
Maybe. But look at my subs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the other part. Your subs are dreadful.
They're all starters.
I don't know if Baptiste is a starter. Well, Gusto definitely isn't a starter.
Paul Torres will be a starter.
Yeah, you've won starter. You're right.
Yeah,
you've won 4.5.
That's all you need.
Yeah, I don't know. We've a lot in common. I won't go into mine just yet, but I will push you a little bit on Nkunku. Where is that coming from?
Well, he is an absolute beast, isn't he, from the Bundesliga?
Yeah.
I play a lot of fantasy, Champions League fantasy, and he scores me lots of points on that. And he scored 2 goals in 2 preseason matches. And I think that after Liverpool, Chelsea have a very nice run of fixtures.
I think you're winging it there, Petty. I think you're winging it. I mean, you're not wrong. I think realistically, game week 3 is when Chelsea's fixtures brighten up. They've got, I would say, away to West Ham, a bit difficult. You know, like that can be, it's, you know, a London derby, so could be a bit of a sticky one. But it does turn into a lovely sea of blue from game week 3 onwards, with Luton, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I've seen a few people with Nkunku. I've been tempted myself.
Yeah, well, look, you can have tears when he starts doing bits for me. But look, Liverpool, right? West Ham, they're away to West Ham, and, you know, there's no point getting him in for game week 3 when he's already done bits in the first 2 game weeks. You know, you need to be ahead of the curve, like here, Jer.
Yeah, I just don't know if home to Liverpool is as enticing a fixture as... Okay, so let's put it this way. One of the tips for any FPL manager, that any FPL manager would give, is in game week 1, you play safe. You don't go with crazy shit. You players that you're not sure how they'll sped in, where they'll even play. Is Nkunku going to play as the number 9? Is he going to play out left? Is he going to play off of a striker? I think you play it a bit more safe and a bit more kind of, yeah, template, I suppose, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, look, I'm only arguing with you for the sake of arguing. Actually, one of the golden rules in FPL is you never really bring in a fresh new player to the Premier League. You kind of go with the old tried and tested, and then you bring them in. But as we say, this is a draft, and this was me expressing myself a wee bit, Jerry, you know? And I just know I want Nkuku in my team, but come the day, you know, that when I go to bed that night, it'll probably be a 4-5-1.
Before you have a tinker.
Before I have a tinker, yeah.
A 4-5-1, so you'd get rid of Jesus? He's not nailed?
Well, I might go for a 3-5-2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of midfield options this year, if I may say so myself.
And you know what? Actually, see, one of my first midfields, the five midfielders I just went for automatically, and mm-hmm. one of my second draft, it was Saka, Fernandes, Rashford, Son, and...
That was your first draft, I remember you
saying
that.
Yeah, I had like the five top hitters, and I couldn't believe I had it, and I had Haaland up top in his own. And then I think I might have had Salah on that.
I had a cheap
defence in.
Yeah, I remember liking the triple United, and you've gone now to the just the Fernandes instead of Rashford. Was that a big call?
Who did I go there? Sorry,
you went just. I was wondering Fernandes versus Rashford. Like you've gone Bruno. Is it strictly a budgetary thing or?
Look, to be honest, I can see myself running with Bruno and Rashford maybe in the final draft, but. At that stage, it was a budget thing. Mm. Yeah, I was like, Bruno's going to be on penalties. He scored, like I've seen him score a nice goal. I feel with Bruno as well that he's never going to be deep ever again in this United team. Like he, you know, like before when things happened. Because we've now got Mount to come on that's very flexible and tactically, you know, adept to all the positions across the midfield.
Yeah. You know?
So Bruno, I feel, will always sit up.
I hope so. I mean, I'd be of the same opinion. I'd imagine he's going to, you know, not have to be as defensive minded as maybe he has been over the last season or two. I do think, yeah, I don't even know how much Mount is going to affect that. That remains to be seen. Did you catch the preseason match against Arsenal during the week?
I caught the highlights. Every probably bit of a highlight I've caught. I've seen all the feisty tackles as well from the defense, and I seen Bruno working well, and I seen Sancho's burst of pace forward, and Gabriel's mistake, and I've seen most of it. I caught most of it, and do you know another thing is like with Rashford, I think Rashford just totally he had a great season. I don't think he's going to repeat that. Overachieved, sorry.
Oh, yeah?
I think Rashford completely overachieved last season, and I hope he hasn't. I hope he goes on, but for this season, I just don't see much between Bruno and Rashford this season, I don't think. When the smoke clears at the very end, I don't think there's going to be a huge difference.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I mean, I actually... You know, being the unprofessional podcast that we are, I don't have the figures beside me into what Fernandes and Rashford got last year, but yeah, I think there's still a lot of question marks in terms of where United are going to be with regards to a striker. Like obviously they're trying to get that Hoyland striker in, but if that falls through, is Rashford going to be playing through the middle? Is he going to be playing off the left? I assume Bruno still has penalties. I don't see why he wouldn't. So, I mean, there is, there's a few questions still to be asked. But yeah, I think I'd agree with you. I think there won't be much between them. But I do think there'll come a time this season when you'll want both. And it could even be now to start. Like, when I saw you, I've seen a few drafts with Rashford and Fernandes in. And yeah, I don't hate him. I don't hate him.
And, that's not even, one of the biggest headaches when it comes to like which player do you choose, because if you look over at Arsenal, like I've got Saka in there,
mm-hmm.
but I mean there's Saka, Odegaard and Martinelli, and that's a similar case, you know, like where do you like maybe you should have two of those in as well.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen a few, obviously there's probably I've seen every permutation these days now because Twitter is just full of drivel.
Saturated, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, what were you ranking them? I mean, obviously you have Saka in your team, so he's taking the first spot, but Odegaard,
yeah,
Martinelli.
Yeah, because Saka penalties.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah, so that's kind of that's why that's the extra fantasy point for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I loved Martinelli last season. I would love to have him in again. Who knows, maybe I will, but I mean, I just don't want to have all my eggs in one basket. It could be very easily you could have a team with Bruno Fernandes and Rashford, Saka and Martinelli.
You have three Arsenal players, like.
Yeah, I know. And then I know, but then in the midfield, like.
Yeah, no, I get you, I get you.
You could have like that midfield. And then sure, if it doesn't go your way that day, you know, that's your game week smoked.
Yeah, and there is a lot of options in the middle of the park.
Oh my God, there's so many. And there's so many that we haven't even, like, you know, thought of yet. Not thought of, but I mean, there's so many that could sneak in there. Like, look at your Bowen, Jared Bowens, you know, 7 million. There's another couple of guys, you know, at a great price point. Same with the forwards. The forwards, if you look at everyone's forward line, it's Haaland, Jesus, it's Nkunku. Or there's Watkins still out there. There's, you know, there's a couple of cheapies.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this forward line is anywhere near as strong as the midfield options. I mean, like you were mentioning there, like the Bowen and there's also some new signings that have been announced over the last few days. I don't know if you saw Harvey Barnes has been added.
That's
to
right.
6.5. Madison for Spurs, 7.5. You have
Mudrick for Chelsea. He's going to be a different player probably under Pochettino.
Yeah, 6.5. Diaby just signed for Villa, another
6.5. Diaz, 7.
There's a lot of midfield options, you know? And that's not to even, like, we haven't even gone to, we talk about midfield options and we talk about headaches. Like, we haven't even discussed Brighton and the fact that, you know, between Mitoma, March looked. I have a lot of time for Solly March, and then Nciso is kind of making some waves as well. Coming in at a nice 5.5, like a real fucking bargain deal there. If you manage
to nail
them. And, yeah, easy peasy for Palace. Crystal Palace. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying there's so many options in the midfield.
Jota's been reclassed as well as a midfielder, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. That is, if I was to, like, you know, the biggest criticism of your team that I'm looking at here is the fact that you've gone four in the middle of the park and you've put the three strikers on it. And again, as you said, you know, this will probably change 10 times between now and the start of the season. This is just where you are right now. I don't like to tell people, you know, how to play the game, you know, as in, you know, enjoy yourself, do whatever the fuck you want to do. But with the sheer amount of midfield options there, I don't want a 4.5. I mean, maybe once a third striker spot becomes a bit more obvious, like, as I said, we don't know with Nkunku. I'm willing to sit back on Villa a little bit. I think their fixtures are not the best for the start of the season, and then you want to see, like, do we get any kind of real cut price gems, the likes of, is it your man for Forest? I can't think of his name, but I think he's 5.5. You know, if he nails down some minutes, I think the likes of Brennan. I know, was it Bournemouth are looking at signing Brennan from Forest as well. That's another 6.0 option. You know, there is Evan Ferguson for Brighton.
That's right,
you know,
our own,
I mean?
Irishman Evan Ferguson as well, 6.5. Yeah, there's so many options. And to be honest, you know the way I've gotten Nkunku in there. Like, the plan is as well, like, if he, you know, if you were starting with two forwards, you know, Haaland and Jesus seem to be the optimal ones to go for, because at least then too, you can switch Jesus to Nkunku come game week three or whatever, whereas you wouldn't be able to do it the other way about if price rises start happening and things like that. So
yeah,
I know it's a bit of a wild draft, but, you know, I just wanted to try something a bit different out there, and that's the way I woke up that day, and that's the way I felt, Jer.
And I wouldn't have it any other way, Petty.
Yeah. So, Jer, we've kind of looked at mine there. Will we move over to yours? I have Foden in there and I have Mitoma. Like, they're kind of my differentials as well. And who the fuck knows what's going to happen with City, by the way. But we can chat about that in yours, because I think I see Foden in yours too.
You do indeed. And for the benefit of audio listeners, I'll call out the team. It's Pickford in nets, Gabriel, not the singer, Alexander-Arnold, Estupinan as the back three, as tempted as it comes. And then midfield, 5, Mbeumo, Foden, Saka, Mitoma, Fernandes, Haaland and Jesus leading the line. And then, I would say a pretty weak bench as well, but it does have a 4.5 starter in Henry. 4.0.
So the same as me on the bench.
Well, I have two players I imagine are going to play. So 4.5 with Henry, 4.0 Bayer, and 4.5
Yeah.
Archer.
This is a nice team. This has got very, 3 weeks ago, first draft vibes to me.
And you're not wrong.
I see you've still got Mbeumo in there, and I do remember Mbeumo was a big... I actually had Mbeumo in a draft as well. Where you've come a little bit forward is you've got Foden in there now. Yeah. Mitoma would have been... and most of the starting ones as well.
You've moved your face away from the microphone.
Sorry.
It's the preseason rust, Penny. Yeah. You've been out of the game for a few
weeks. So Pickford, I don't know what fuck you've got him. He'll not be there come the end.
No, with that draft, it's worth adding that I have a million in the bank.
Yeah, so, it's always nice to have money in the bank.
It is. So Pickford could become Onana. For 0.5 extra. I will defend the Pickford pick though. I think I might stick with him. 4.5. I'll bring up Everton's fixtures there. So Everton, remember now, Sean Dyche, we know from his Burnley days how beneficial the likes of Nick Pope was. So I would be hoping for maybe a similar return from Everton, going forward. Now, again, remains to be seen. But the first couple of fixtures, home to Fulham, away to Villa, home to Wolves, away to Sheffield United before Arsenal in game week 5. So, I mean, 4 decent fixtures just to see how it goes. I don't mind Pickford as an option. And you're right, it's a draft that was very in vogue 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I've barely changed it since. I'm pretty much nailed with Gabriel. Is Stupinan. They're not going anywhere. Saka is not going anywhere. Mitoma is not going anywhere. Haaland, Jesus, they're not going anywhere. Fernandez could be Rashford.
Yeah.
Foden, I think I'm 80% locked on him.
Yeah. Are you really? Foden's one for me that could change,
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just.
No, I
don't know why.
He's just at that price point that he can change.
Yeah.
So kind of way, you could drop him to a 6.5 and save a mil straight away there,
Yeah. So we've almost got the same defense. I've Gabriel, Trent, and you've got a Stupian. I've got Botman. But I had a Stupian as well at one stage. But, my only worry is Brighton keep selling all their players. I mean, they're going to sell Caicedo. They're going to sell maybe who's the other guy?
I don't know. Caicedo.
And they've already sold McAllister anyway. And, I mean, how many players does it take to destroy a team?
I think Estupinan. I mean, look, we have a bit of data on Brighton's defense. They weren't bad last year.
I'm not saying they are, but they had a very good midfielder in front of them.
They did, and also they look like their defense looks very shaky this year. But I'm not really going with him in the hope of loads of clean sheets. I'm just kind of going for those attacking returns and their fixtures. Paddy are ridiculous. I mean, Brighton's opening fixtures are first game of the season, obviously, at home to Luton, then Wolves, West Ham, Newcastle, United. I could see them taking points off of, those first three fixtures, Luton, Wolves, and West Ham, I could see them winning all three there.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy to stick with it. And, as it is the first episode, again, kind of going back to some of the kind of classic FPL, I wouldn't say rules, but every season, every podcast tends to talk about the same things. And one of them is when do you wildcard? What's the plan for a wildcard? And I don't mind using an early wildcard. I like to hold on to it as long as I can. I'm not one of those managers that just hits it after 3 weeks if needs be, or if they're feeling a bit Harry Kane is staying with Spurs, I'm going to rechange my whole team. I'm not one of those guys. I like to hold on to it as long as I can. But if it comes to game week 4 and I've made a mistake, and as you said, Brighton haven't kept a clean sheet since the start of the season, their fixtures are turning slightly more difficult, you've made an absolute bollocks of Pickford in goals, Everton are as shit as they were last season, and Foden hasn't gotten any minutes, I'd have no problem hitting the wildcard button. That's fine. That's what it's there for, But I'm pretty confident with
It's a nice team. No, I have to say it's a very nice team, and
it's very template.
It is a template, but sure. Look, that's template wins points, and that's what you need to start. You need to kind of go. You need to try a bit of a wee bit template at the start. Stick with a pack, and maybe then try and take off near the end. Gallop on.
Yeah, I always say the template is a template for a reason.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it didn't just magically appear because 10 content creators said that this is the best team. That's there because, yeah, you know, anyone that's engaged would be able to make a decent argument for it. Let me ask you something. Like, we're 30 minutes into the show and we haven't mentioned one man yet. And he's for me, the only decision I've had to make and still am to make this preseason, and it's Mo Salah.
Oh, yeah, no, imagine we got 30 minutes in without talking about Mo Salah.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Fingering ourselves instead, but yeah.
Yeah, fingering ourselves.
Well, you were talking about, tinkering yourself, sorry.
Tinkering, yeah. Whatever you're into, mate. How far do you go up the first knuckle?
30 minutes in. Yeah, well, you know, again, whatever you're into, you know, first knuckle,
and
fourth
knuckle. And the bath, huh?
Yeah.
But, dirty boy.
Raising the bar and lowering the tone already. Yeah. Mo Salah, Paddy. You haven't mentioned him. You didn't even seem fazed by not having him. Is he not causing you any thoughts?
He is, of course. And that's another man that could well be in the first draft, you know. It's just, I mean, you can't have them all, Jer. You can't have them all.
No.
I mean, like, Trent's in there. Is Trent more, what's the word, essential than Salah? Because he seems to be. Because if we didn't have Trent in there, we could actually have Salah.
Yeah, I think so. Have you done a Salah draft?
I have done a Salah draft, and, you know, I've liked it. Like, I really have. But I just find that you can get so... If you want to get that, like, really good, juicy five midfield, you just can't really do it with Salah. Like, if you want to go for a good, juicy five midfield, I think it can't be done. But I'm sure that's going to make the season very exciting, you know, with the teams.
It is. It's definitely something that I'm going to be mulling over, I think, until the final day. I haven't made my mind up.
Where would you fit Salah into your team, though? Do you think you can squeeze him in there and keep Trent and Haaland?
Definitely couldn't keep Trent. If Salah was coming, it would be one or the other. It would be Trent or Salah. If you were to take Trent out of there down to 4.5, that's, what, 3.5 savings? I have a million in the back, that's 4.5. And I could probably find another half mil somewhere else and turn Foden into Salah. But that would involve then maybe downgrading the likes of a Saka to a Martinelli, maybe a Jesus to an Nkunku, or someone similarly priced. Even if I was to take a punt on someone like Nciso, you know, 5.5. So there is definitely decent drafts out there. And I think with the amount of 6.5 options we've been given this season, midfield wise, it is doable. But the question is, which 6.5s do you go for? And that feels like something that I'm happy to wait a few weeks. Now, I say wait a few weeks, that means basically wait until game week 2 when you're looking down the barrel of Salah at home to Bournemouth and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, FOMO's kicking in.
Yeah, hide behind the couch stuff. And you know what as well? Because we are so early into the season, Kane hasn't even... We don't know if Kane's staying or if he's going. And that will add another headache to the equation, because Harry Kane is going to be a super differential, I think, because people have kind of already made their minds up now on their teams. And I don't think anyone will be wanting to really squeeze Kane in there anymore. You know, once they get their draft sorted, and then all of a sudden Kane staying with Spurs, maybe... you're going to be like, shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, no. You hit the nail on the head there. I actually did my first Harry Kane draft today when I was prepping. Yeah, I was prepping for the show. Now, it's not too difficult because it's the same as Salah. Like, they're both 12.5 now. Obviously, one's a forward, one's a midfielder. But in terms of making the money, it's entirely doable. And, what's putting me off is the first two fixtures for Spurs. Away to Brentford and at home to United. I mean... not just the fact that the fixtures aren't exactly, you know, excellent. It's the fact that we haven't seen Postecoglou in action yet. I don't know. I mean, I've read all the, you know, 4-3-3 or whatever and attacking football, and I've seen some of the preseason stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. but I want to see it in reality.
Yeah, and Kane's unsettled at the moment anyway, obviously. You know, he's... So yeah, it'll be a one to wait on anyway. Do you know another thing? I know we've touched on Salah there, but I just want to touch on a couple of players. Alvarez for Man City. Chipo. Now we've lost Mahrez. We've lost who else has gone there from City?
Gundogan. There's talks of Bernardo Silva going.
De Bruyne is still not 100% fit yet.
But like I've seen Alvarez floating around the place. But why? Like, what are people thinking about with that?
I don't know, because he scored 9 goals and he had like 4 or 5 assists. Did he come near the end of last season? And he's really cheap. I mean, do you think there's possibly room for Alvarez in a team?
Not for me. Like, obviously, if Haaland gets injured, that's a whole different ballgame. But
yeah, but he was playing with Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know there's lots of treads and lots of things out there. He wasn't really playing with Haaland last season. I mean, I'm not
saying the end of last season, yes.
Maybe when City had the league wrapped up, but even then, I believe Haaland was pretty much like getting rested and then 60 minutes and then rested or whatever. I wouldn't put too much fade in that. Now, there is the argument to be made that he plays out on the right now that Mahrez is gone. Do you know? So I think I've seen, as I said, there's a few treads, and I'm sure there's plenty of 10-minute videos on why Alvarez is a good pick. But Man City are going to be obviously favourites for the league again this year. You only get 3 spots.
Yes.
I'm already feeling a bit like Foden is a risk, let alone the likes of Alvarez. Yeah, Alvarez is a striker.
That makes sense.
Though, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is he down as a striker?
I don't know. But
I'd say he is. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, Man City are the treble winning team. And we're
don't,
like,
you don't have to say it out loud. Jesus Christ.
I know, it's horrible, but I mean, they bought it. That's plain simple. But we've got like probably struggling to get more than one City player into our teams.
I don't know, I mean the likes of
Alan's going there. But I wanted to speak about Stones. John Stones, 5.5, going to be playing in midfield.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that not tempting, or like, are you not like, well, fuck? And he's after coming out and like basically having a wank in an interview saying that he loves getting forward, and you know that's another side to his game that he's good at.
100%. I mean, he scored a goal there, I think, in the last preseason match, which is why he was harping on about it. But yeah, we saw John Stones towards the end of the last season kind of play that role, that kind of classic Guardiola role, where the centre back is pushing into the midfield.
Philippe Lam.
Yeah, and look, he is definitely on my watch list, on the radar. 5.5. I do think, you know, you can't really go wrong with Man City cover at all. Defensive cover, you know. I mean, unless it's Ederson. But you can't really go wrong with a 5.5 defender. He would be my pick of the City back line. But I think, yeah, it's a bit of a wait and see for me. Is he nailed on every week? I mean, even though I think he's the most nailed on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think I'm playing 3 at the back. I think that's my issue, do you know? And at the moment, anyone sitting there with the likes of Trent isn't really looking at Stones. I feel like that's the way it is. It's like, if you did
imagine
Trent,
if you had Gabriel, Trent, and Stones.
Yeah, I mean,
that is stupid.
Yeah, and it's only but the 0.5 more expensive, yeah, I believe. Yeah. He is 5.5, I think. But yeah, look, complete. Like, I look at my team and I think that's one of the weak spots, is not having 3 City players. Should every team have 3 City players? They're the champions. They're the favourites to win again. Do you know, why would you not have the 3 of them, especially when they're priced relatively friendly, mm-hmm. you know? But you don't have fucking Stones in your team.
I did.
Yeah.
Draft three.
The 22nd of July. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember it well. Yeah, so, I mean, so,
basically, what we've discovered here is, Jer, we have a long way to go. Yeah. But it's fun.
It's why we've held off putting out an episode so far this season. Is like, I think like we were looking at doing one last week, and we jumped on a call, and we spoke to each other, and we tried to kind of, you know, pin down what way we were going to approach it this season, and we both just said it was too early. It was too early for a first episode.
But I'm glad we've had this one, because this has been a good chat. You know, we've got a few things off our chest about players, you know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I feel I'm going to come away a little bit clearer than before.
Well, that's 100%. What I'm here for, Paddy, yeah. Just to clear that noggin of yours. One player left before we jump over to the league. Mbeumo. We didn't really discuss him. He's in my draft. I can't remember if he was in yours.
He was in draft 2.
6.5. Draft 2. He's 6.5. Potentially out of position. Striker.
Yeah, going to be up top now, isn't he?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, like, it depends on how many minutes Vissa gets. Like, Vissa scored in their preseason match against Fulham there yesterday. There was plenty of games last year where Vissa started up front, where Mbeumo didn't play the striker role. I would expect him to be on penalties anyway. But 6.5, potentially out of position, playing for... I have a lot of time for Brentford, so I expect him to, you know, have a decent crack enough on. Season again. Yeah, crack on a bit.
How much is Vissa?
6 as a forward.
So he's not going on anyone's team.
Yeah, I've seen a few drafts, but yeah, you'd have to have a stormer of a preseason. Like if he kept it going now up until the start of the season, where it was like, yeah, he's played up front in the majority of their games and he scored X, Y, and Z, I would be considering him.
Well, the worry there is that they have this Vissa guy up there, right, that can play, can score, and they know Mbeumo can play behind him on the wing or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what he did, you know, last season as well for games, you know, when Tony was up there. So they could be, this is their opportunity to explore Vissa, and Mbeumo could just continue doing what he does. But I know a lot of us would love Mbeumo to go and take over the Tony spot, and then you have an out of position forward, but I just wouldn't be. No, I just wouldn't get... I don't know how... It's going to be a bit... They'll be rotating, I think.
Fair enough. All right. Before we wrap up the show, I think we'll talk about the mini-league. Now, we are going to have more updates in regards to a potential... Dare I say the word? Cash league?
Yeah.
But that's in the air. That's up in the air right now in terms of there's still a few technical things being ironed out. So we're not going to go into details. But we are, regardless of that, going to be running our classic free-to-enter FPL Hangover mini league, where the winner will get a... I'm not going to confirm it right now, but there'll be something pretty decent as the prize, as there has been for the last couple of seasons. The mini league code is HUP8K9. That's HUP8K9. HUP8K9. It's on your screens. If you want to join, as I said, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. We break it down every week. We like to do a little bit of a mini league kind of. Paddy's got a boner for, you know, all the mini league stats and stuff. So,
yes.
Yeah.
We will be doing the mini league, and of course we'll be using the Premier League fantasy tools for the mini league. And like you said, we do have a couple of other things up our sleeves to be announced in the coming weeks, in regards to cash leagues maybe, and other wee bits and pieces. And we will...
Legitimate cash leagues.
Legitimate, yes. No underground shit.
Yeah.
So, and we'll get the prizes as well announced for the Hangover League.
Oh yeah, we're working behind the scenes. I forgot about that. Yeah, I was like, that's the other bit. I was like, we're going to see if we can get a few extra prizes.
I think we need swag.
Yeah, well, I have swag that I've just been saving for people that I give prizes to. But yeah, maybe we do. Just a giant scarf, Ireland's greatest FPL podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll wrap it up there. Have you anything that you want to say before we hit the road, Paddy?
I just want to say good luck in your draft. Don't take anything too serious yet, because there's so much time to go. Like and subscribe to the pod. Share it. Tell your friends about it. And that's basically... Give us a follow. Basically it. Yeah. Jer, where can we find the pod and yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at FPL Hangover. You can reach out to us with business opportunities. Only the best of the best on Gmail. FPLHangover@gmail.com. We are going to try and get at least another episode out before the season kicks off. But in classic Hangover fashion, I'm on holidays right up until the 11th of August. But we're going to try and get something and make something work. I'm going to be bringing my microphone and my laptop with me, and we'll see what we can do. Mightn't be mightn't be any YouTube on it, but there'll definitely be some audio content. Paddy, your dog is telling us we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, that's just right on time as well, huh?
Perfect. All right.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the preseason, folks, and most importantly, God bless.